Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, August 9th, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Learning to Love Yourself First, with my guest, Linda Coleman Willis. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I realize you have lots of other things you can do with your time, and I'm glad you chose to be with us today. I encourage you to participate, and to do that, you can ask questions over on the phone lines or even in the chat room. Now, if you're on the phone lines, all you need to do is press pound 1. To raise your hand, let me know that you want to ask a question or make a comment. If you're over there in the chat room, just type in your question or your comment and I'll be able to see it and then I can read it on the air. I want to greet guest 936 who's already over in the chat room, and I know we're going to have some more filing in there pretty soon. Now, let me remind you that the show is live, so anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens, and if that should happen, all you need to do is just dial in again, same number you dialed in before, 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything, because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, you can follow me on Twitter, you can visit me, become a fan on Facebook, and most important, add yourself as a friend of my show. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Flora Brown again. I'm an author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to go over and visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you will learn about all the programs that I have available to help you choose happiness for your life. And while you're over there, be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter and click over to visit my blog. You can also subscribe to my blog. That way you'll get that in your email as well. Now, today is a very special day for me because I decided a few weeks ago, about a month ago, to designate this day as Color Your Life Happy Day, August 9th. It's a day to do something that you enjoy, some activity that will make you happy, and hopefully it will make others happy too. Then whatever you decide to do, make a decision to keep this going as a habit, to continue finding joy, pleasure, a way to help others for the rest of the year. This special celebration was inspired by the memory of my mother, Mildred S. Morris, because today is her birthday. She would have turned 100 years old today, but she passed at age 92 in 2002. And when I was thinking about Color Your Life Happy Day, I was thinking, what day could I designate? And it occurred to me that her 100th birthday would be a perfect day for this. Now, my mom spent her life making people happy with her music. She loved music all of her life. She told me that when she was a girl and wanted her father to buy her a piano, he told her that he wasn't buying a piano for anybody who didn't already know how to play music. So she had to go out and learn to play the piano on other people's pianos to convince her father to buy her a piano. So she loved music just that much. So all of her life up until her mid-80s, until she just couldn't do it anymore, she played piano and organ all throughout her childhood and for so many churches and organizations and events. And, of course, you can imagine that with three girls, raising three girls, that we had to sing. So we all got to be involved in her music. Everyone who ever heard her play was touched by her lively and fervent style. And every time I meet someone who knew her, they remember that so fondly. So I invite you to join me in celebrating Color Your Life Happy Day today, August 9th, and then starting tomorrow and through the end of the week, if you would send me a photo or a video of how you celebrated this day, I would be so thrilled to post it on my Facebook account. Now, you can send that to my email at flora@florabrown.com, or you could go over if you have a Facebook account and just load it there. Now, there are many ways you can spend this day. It's completely up to you. You can do something as simple as just taking time off to read a neglected book. We all have stacks of books that we intended to get around to and never finished. Or perhaps you want to join the courageous ones who are going to use this day to declutter, because as you know, decluttering is part of opening yourself up to more happiness and abundance. Now, I also was thinking of starting a vegetable garden. I thought about doing some scrapbooking, but now that this day is here, I have a couple of other things that I have in mind I'm going to do. So I won't tell you what that is because you'll see the picture over on Facebook. So get busy thinking of how you will celebrate Color Your Life Happy Day, and then don't forget to send me a picture of you participating in this activity. Now, on the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all of the things you can think about that contribute to our happiness. Today, my guest is Linda Coleman Willis, one of America's leading experts in self-improvement and personal development. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Flora. How are you?
I am fantastic, and I am so happy that you could come on the show today. This is a perfect day for you to come on the show, Color Your Life Happy Day, to talk about loving ourselves first. We're going to get started in a minute, but is it okay if I tell the listeners a bit about you first?
It certainly is.
Okay. Linda Coleman Willis is one of America's leading experts in the areas of self-improvement and personal development. She's a certified life coach, an award-winning speaker, a best-selling author, newspaper columnist, TV radio personality, and a highly sought-after keynote speaker for corporations and organizations across the country. Linda has dedicated her life to empowering people. Her coaching sessions, workshops, and seminars are all designed to transform lives. Now, Linda is also the author of several books, including her national bestseller, Loving Yourself First, A Woman's Guide to Personal Power. She's a contributing author in Chicken Soup for the African American Soul and Woman to Woman Soul. Linda writes an online column, Positive Talk with Linda, and a weekly newspaper column, Straight Talk. I'm going to ask Linda to tell us how to reach all of these things that she's doing when we get into the interview. She has produced an award-winning tape series entitled How to Change Your Life and Achieve the Results You Want. She's done two DVDs entitled Over the Wall, How to Overcome Obstacle, and 10 Steps to Stay Motivated in Times of Challenge and Change, and we certainly need that. Through her seminar, From Concept to Completion, Linda has taught hundreds of speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs how to write a book in 90 days. Whoa, that is a very needed workshop because people ask me about that all the time. Now, in this two-day hands-on seminar, Linda takes you step-by-step through the writing process using techniques that are guaranteed to cut the time it usually takes to write a book by two-thirds. Linda's also the past president of National Speakers Association Los Angeles chapter, listed in Who's Who in Professional Speaking and Great Women Speakers. She is winner of the Golden Microphone Award and the prestigious Connie Award for Platform Excellence. I am thrilled to welcome to the show today Linda Coleman Willis. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you? Your life. Happy
yep.
day.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I am so thrilled that you were able to make time because I can see that from all the things you're doing, you have a busy schedule. So it's very important that you be selective about what you choose to do. So I'm glad that we made the cut.
Yes, indeed. Love talking directly to the people. Just love that.
And I love your book title, and I love the topic we have today, Learning to Love Yourself First, because mm-hmm. that's where it all begins.
That's right.
And I know that you talk primarily to women, but these things we know can apply to men as well. So let's start right at the top. Why is it so important for a woman to love herself first?
Flora, you're exactly right. It does apply to men, but as a marketing tool, and normally men won't buy a book that says loving yourself first. that say loving yourself first once they understand what it's about, and especially when they realize the profound effect that it has women in their lives. But it is so important that women or anyone love themselves first, because when we go into a relationship and we're not loving ourselves, we go into relationships a lot of times looking for someone to fix us or to make us feel better about who we are, to, as you hear some people say, complete us, and mm-hmm. it doesn't work. We're disappointed because men can't fix us, our partners can't fix us, we can't fix them, we have to fix ourselves. And so when you have two people going into a relationship, it's not half and half that makes a whole, it's whole and whole that makes us whole. So we can't go into those relationships looking for someone else to fix us, to make us feel good about who we are. We have to do that work, or we should do that work, before we get involved in a relationship. And one of the things that happens is that we attract people into our lives who are also whole, and that mm-hmm. makes us. So I always tell people, one and one in a relationship is not two, it's 11. Because they're bringing their past, their experiences, their hopes and dreams
That's
and fears
true.
And everything, and so are you. So
That's
you have
true.
To have two emotionally healthy people to have a great relationship, and that's what this book is all about, getting emotionally healthy.
Well, I am so delighted that you wrote it, and it is available on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And other major booksellers, correct?
Correct.
All right, so people can go and get that. As you were speaking, I was thinking about the fact that when you said we can't take a half of a person into a relationship, I was thinking about the languaging that we use even in marriages. You've heard people say, at least in the past, call their spouse their better half
mm-hmm.
or the other half
mm-hmm.
as if the two halves go together to make a whole. And mm-hmm. so even in our languaging, we've been in error and helped to perpetuate this concept you're talking about, this fractured self.
We have, and we can change that, because when you talk about your better half or your other half,
mm-hmm.
if you are healthy, they are healthy, the languaging doesn't matter that much. The challenge is we so often are looking for people that will complete us or make us feel good about who we are, and that is a burden to the other person, because 9 times out of 10, they can't do it.
No,
they can't.
No.
They can barely do it for themselves if they're doing it for themselves.
Right,
but they certainly
right.
can't do it for you. And so I think you're right that languaging is a little bit misleading. But if you're both emotionally healthy and you want to recognize them as your other half, that's great, because you're going to
mm-hmm.
come together, and but you're both whole.
Yes.
And that's the big difference.
and I
really try to drive that point home for women, because I think even more so than men, we are culprits of that.
Yes, we are. And when you started off by talking about going into relationships, actually our first relationship is the relationship we have with ourselves. So if that's not whole, then any other relationship we enter is going to be in danger. Now, how does a woman know if she does not love herself? Because some people may be a foreign concept or something they've never thought about before.
It is a foreign concept in the sense that when I do my public seminars, I have the conversation with women, and most of us believe that because we're taking care of this outward appearance, which
mm-hmm.
most of us do, we take very good care of ourselves. We get the manicures and the pedicures, and we get our hair done, and maybe a massage and exercise, and we try to eat right or whatever, and we think that is loving ourselves first. But that is great. We should do that because
mm-hmm.
that I call that maintenance. But when
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about loving ourselves first, I'm talking about something that's so much deeper. I'm talking about something from the inside out, which is usually overlooked. And when we talk about the first people that we should be taking care of or loving, we're not conditioned to do that. Everything that
right.
we do is outside. When
mm-hmm.
we go to elementary school, we're taught how to get along with other people. Even little babies, we are conditioned to get along with the people around us. But it's very seldom that people teach us how to be alone, how to be by ourselves, and how to get along with ourselves, and really identify who that true self is. And we're talking about the inside out. So when you take a look at your life, if you want to know if you're not loving yourself, take a look at your life and ask yourself, is it working? Are you getting into the same type of relationships over and over and over, those kind of relationships that didn't work the first
mm-hmm.
time, didn't
mm-hmm.
work the second time, not working now? You know, I look good. Of course you do. You may be attracting someone who may be great to the eyes, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have to pass that to that emotional part of ourselves. And so if you're making the same mistakes over and over, if your life is not working, a lot of times we spend our time trying to live up to someone else's expectations of us, and so we're not being true to ourselves. We're not
mm-hmm.
even aware of what it is that we want, what makes us happy. What is it that color your life happy? You know, what is it that's important to you? What is it that you want? What is it that you don't want? What makes
mm-hmm.
you happy? What makes
right.
you sad? You know,
right,
a lot
right.
of times we don't know these things because we spend our whole life interacting with people. And as we learn how to put on the face, we learn how to do the things that are acceptable. And we need that. We need to be
mm-hmm.
able to socialize.
Sure.
But
sure.
More importantly is that we need to be able to identify those things that are important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about being selfish or self-serving
no.
or self-centered. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about a true appreciation for who you are and whose you are.
That's
I
right.
I definitely want to make that distinction.
That's right. That's right.
Because it tends to sound selfish when we're talking about loving yourself first, but we're definitely not talking about that selfish person, that
mm-hmm.
me, my, and that's all they're concerned about. That's not
mm-hmm.
what we're talking about at all.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I think one of the first mistakes people make when they hear love yourself first is that they're going to have to turn into some mean, selfish, evil person who disregards the feelings of others. And that's certainly not at all what you're talking about, because when you take a look at yourself and you are loving yourself, you're going to attract other loving people. Your relationships are going to work. It's going to be a mutual kind of thing that's going on.
Exactly.
And so it won't be selfish in the sense that we think of that term, selfish. Not at all.
Not
but I think that's
all.
Held us back in the past. I think in the past that has held us back from thinking about getting, even especially women. I think women often, we're nurturers, and will often do for their children, the family, the husband, and almost everybody else before they take care of their own needs. And again, I'm not talking just the outward needs, but even just their inward needs. They just keep stuffing those down and pushing those down.
That's right. We're taught to nurture.
Right.
We're not taught to nurture ourselves, and we don't realize that we are actually incapable of truly giving others what they need, including our children, when we're not giving ourselves what we need.
Exactly.
What your partner and your children, your family, your friends need is a emotionally healthy you, a person who's loving themselves so that they can give. I compare it to a cup. If the cup is empty, you can't give anyone a drink of water.
Nope.
But when the cup is full and flowing full of water, you can share that water with lots of people, and you
sure.
still won't be out of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about loving yourself first. Fill up your cup so that it runneth over, so that when you're sharing and with other people, whether it's friends or family or spouse or children, you're not running on empty.
Mm,
and that's
right.
what happens with a lot of women.
That's true. Now, we know that we need to do this. Do you think that we can affect lasting change in our behaviors and our attitudes and really love who we are? And if so, how do we do that? How do we go about doing that?
We absolutely can do that. And one of the things we need to understand is that God loves us unconditionally, and we can learn
mm-hmm.
to love ourselves that way. It's unconditional love. We have
mm-hmm.
to be acceptant of the things that we don't like about ourselves and understand that some of those things can be changed. We have to be accepting of the things we cannot change, as the saying goes, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Right.
But self-acceptance, understanding mm-hmm. that we're okay just as we are. We have to accept that we are worthwhile and capable and lovable just as we are. And then if we decide to make some changes, decide because we want to, not because other people are putting those kinds of pressures on us. And so, yes, we absolutely can change. And when it comes to emotions, we learn usually when we're little kids how to act emotionally, or we don't learn really how to control our emotions. But you've seen a three-year-old when they want something, how they act. You've seen an adult. We have the same reaction usually.
That's right.
We've been taught how to handle our emotions. And so that's something that we have to make a conscious decision to learn. You hear people say all the time, I'm too old to change, or I can't change now, or that's the way I am. If they don't like it, accept it.
Uh-huh.
That's first an attitudinal change that needs to happen, because that is not just the way it is. We're making conscious choices, and a lot of times that those conscious choices are based on default information
right,
that we received when we were kids, and it didn't work then, it's not working now. Probably didn't work for the person who gave it to you, and it's usually from the people who are teaching us, maybe parents, teachers, or sometimes friends. So we have to take a look and ask ourselves, as thinking, reasoning, logical adults, is this working? And if the answer is no, we need to look for some way to change it. And it starts with acknowledging that it's not working for us, and we need to make a change. That's the very beginning. Once you ask that question, you're going to start to look for ways to make a change. It is not working. What's that old saying? You do the same thing the same way and expect different results? It doesn't
happen.
Right.
Can't happen.
It can't happen.
Well, I like your pointing out this thing about accepting ourselves and about changing the stories. I was working on a blog topic this morning, and part of what we have to do is change the story that we tell ourselves, because the story that we have made up about ourselves really came from, as you said, the way we were brought up, our parents and our teachers, who had good intentions, but many times they misinformed us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we think about some of the things, the messages they gave us, even some of them, they try to make them ancestral. You know, in our family we don't do this, or nobody in our family has done this, or you're clumsy just like your grandfather, or whatever. All these stories that they gave us, we can dump those.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not working for us, and if they're affecting our relationships and sabotaging our success, they're not working.
That's right. They're not working. And we're oftentimes, because of where those lessons came from, we are afraid to even question, or some
That's
people
right.
don't realize, as you said, that there is a script, and that
mm-hmm.
we're living out that script in our mind, because it's subconsciously. And
That's
so
true.
A lot of times they're not aware. So as adults, as reasoning, logical, thinking people, we need to examine the things that that we've been doing the same way all this time, and it's not getting us where we want to go, or it does not get us the results that we want.
Yeah.
We just have to know that nothing is that permanent. If you're still breathing, and you're still alive, you can work on change. And I'm not saying, Flora, that it's easy. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. But if you never take the time to look, just a quick side, I think a great example of someone who I have observed for the last 18 months is President Barack Obama, and mm-hmm. how focused and how no matter what happens, he has disposition. And I know it, a lot of people ask the question, how, because I know I did, in the face of all the crises and adversities, can he maintain this disposition? And, of course, the answer is he knows who he is, and
that's
he knows
right.
what what he's doing, and
that's
he
right.
stays focused on that. And that
that's
takes
right.
a lot of work, and he wrote a whole book about how to get there, because it's not an easy road, but it's a road we must take if we want to have that true life of happiness that Flora talks about, if we really want to love ourselves, as I talk about in the book, and to not let ourselves off the hook when we know we can make a change, but not keep ourselves on the hook for the things that we are trying to live up to others' expectations about.
That's right. That's
mm-hmm.
right. One
so
of my favorite.
It becomes a two-sided sword there.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite sayings is, if you're not following your own dream, you're busy helping somebody else get theirs.
That's right.
And so there's nothing wrong with helping someone else, but following your own dream, loving yourself first, going after your own happiness comes first, and then you're better able to assist others and have a meaningful relationship. I want to talk about this concept of need, because this is a troublesome thing in many people's cases. They even use it a lot in their language. Why is the need to feel love such a big problem in relationships?
The biggest problem is because when we are needy and come off as needy, we attract people into our lives who appear, and please notice I said to appear, to fulfill that need. But you're not uh-huh. going to attract an emotionally healthy person if you're not emotionally healthy.
Uh-huh.
So they cannot fulfill your need. They can't fulfill their own needs. And so it becomes a relationship that you really don't want to be in. But we can learn to love ourselves enough so that a mate will be a blessing, not a crutch. We need
mm-hmm.
to look for someone who matches our emotional needs when we are emotionally healthy. You see, when we are too needy, we attract men who appear to be just what we need, and then they will be appealing to our neediness for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a while. And neediness is based on insecurities, fear
right,
of being
right.
alone, so fear
right.
of not being able to take care of ourselves. And they pick that up.
Sure.
And they're either going to become overburdened, and they're going to run away because they're
mm-hmm.
going to realize that this is an empty cup, and no matter how much I pour into it, I am not going to be able to fill it up.
Right.
Or you become dependent, and you become weak and dependent, and then you are more liable to be taken advantage of,
sure,
because they,
sure.
and you know, because of the kind of person you are attracting, and they can feel that insecurity, and
oh, yeah.
a lot of times will prey on that insecurity. So
sure.
either way, whether you attract a good man and run him away because he sees, oh no, this, you know, it's no matter what I do. But what I'd like to see, Flora, is I'd like to see women taking more responsibility for their relationships, not being so emotional, dependent on their mates for their happiness. A
uh-huh.
relationship should be nourishing for both people.
Right,
we
right.
need to take as much responsibility for our relationship as we do our careers or anything else.
That's
the
true.
Men are not equipped to fix us any more than we're equipped to fix them.
That is true. That
and
is
and
true.
So when we go into a relationship and we are feeling loved and we can give love, we're more likely to attract the kind of man who has done the same kind of work. And then
mm-hmm.
we can be together without my being so needy that I, you know, he has to try to fill my every need, and it doesn't work. And so I'd like to see women be emotionally strong so that
right.
they can handle the challenges, the normal challenges that come with any relationship, even a good relationship.
Sure. Every relationship
mm-hmm.
is going to have its challenges. But when we turn over the power, which is what you're talking about, if we're so needy and that we have to feel loved, we have turned over the power over our lives to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they may use that power for good. They may use that power for bad. But for sure, we have lost the control.
That's right.
And we're looking to someone else to do for us what actually we should be doing for ourselves. Now, how does this need to measure up affect our happiness and our well-being?
That's probably one of the big points for me, because being the middle child of five children, I can tell you I've spent a large part of my life trying to measure up. And what it does is it keeps you bound and tied, because you may not ever discover what it is that God has for you, what your purpose and your passion is, because you're always trying to please someone else. You're always trying to live up to someone else's expectations and never quite making it, because you're not being who you are and you're not living up to your true worth. So if your worth and your feelings of worth, your worth, is validated by how someone else feels about you, you're always going to be feeling less than. Because people, if you give them that kind of power, again, they may not use it for good. And it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's parents.
Nope.
And, you know, sometimes people do things out of love. You've seen parents do things out of love. It's not always that people are evil when they put you down. They may be trying to protect you from getting hurt or feeling disappointment and failure. But it still doesn't change the fact that you have to make a decision at some point in time in your life that this is not the way it's going to be the rest of your life. You have to build yourself up. You have to say to yourself and ask yourself the questions, what is it that I want? To what degree in my life do I want to get advice from other people, and who are those people? Because sometimes the people in our intimate circle are not the people that we should be getting advice from. Because they can't do it or they can't see it, they may not be able to see it for you.
Right.
So the bottom line is you are loved, accepted for who you are. You are capable, and know that the kingdom is yours, that you are a kid of the King, and that is where your validation comes from, because we are all God's children. We are already validated.
Exactly.
We are validated. And so
sometimes
it's very difficult when you're in the middle of a lot of powerful people, and you feel like you have to do this because they're doing this, or maybe they make you feel less than because maybe they've accomplished, or maybe they haven't accomplished, so they want to keep you from accomplishing, and the way to do that is to consistently put you down and have you asking, what's wrong with me? And so you have to understand that there comes a point when you have to say to yourself, that the only way that I'm going to get value and acceptance out of life is from God.
He has
accepted me. I have to accept me. And
make that
statement every day to yourself.
Right.
You're going to be facing a lot of challenges. And
I
know a lot of times we're wounded. I know a lot of times we're tired. I know a lot of times we don't have support. So I'm not making lightly of it, and I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but what I hope that I can do is encourage you to take the necessary steps to make the changes, because change is possible.
It is absolutely possible. It's said that within the course of a year, all of our body cells are replaced. And if all of our cells are constantly regenerating and being renewed, then certainly all that we want to change about us can be changed emotionally and psychologically, attitudinally, and so forth. I want to talk about attracting a mate. You mentioned that earlier. How does loving yourself first help to attract a good mate? You alluded to that, but would you speak on that again, whether it's a man or a woman?
I did. Because, like we said before, people can kind of tell when a person is desperate, when they're lonely, when they're looking for something out of that place of need. And so my suggestion to women, especially women who have been in an abusive relationship or been in one bad relationship after another, I talk to women all the time who say to me, I'm just giving up. I'm not I'm not going to deal with any more men. What we're saying is I'm not willing to look at me, and I'm not willing to do the work that's necessary to get me healthy. Because if you're attracting men into your life in these unhealthy relationships, you have to look at you. You're the only, and I'm not, please understand, I am not blaming women who are abused. This is not what this is about.
Oh, no,
we're talking
no.
about empowering women and giving them the personal power to make decisions on their own behalf. So
right,
my
right.
suggestion is that before you get into a relationship, for the first time it would be great, but we don't get these kinds of lessons. But especially if you've been in the kinds of relationships that you don't like, take the time to examine you. Find out what's going on with you. Maybe you have these feelings of inadequacy, and that's why you're attracting men who you think can make you feel good about yourself. Maybe you have these feelings of not being worthy or not being able to measure up, or maybe you're accepting something less than because you don't think you can do any better. These are the kinds
right.
of emotional things that we need to deal with, and if you need professional help, please get it. You know, sometimes a self-help book is not the answer. Sometimes we need to get some help, and we don't. But I suggest to women that they do this work in the privacy of their aloneness, in the privacy of not being in a love relationship that has you all
right.
goo-goo-eyed and not thinking straight. We've all been there. You know,
oh, yes.
I have.
Very
and
definitely.
You can't, when that happens, you really can't think straight.
You
so
cannot
the
think
to
straight.
Really do the work is before you in one of these relationships. And you will be surprised how the quality and character of the people that you're attracting to your life will change to match where you are emotionally. It will change. I guarantee you it will change. But
it
you have
change.
To do the work. You really have to do the work.
Yep.
And don't ever blame yourself if you've been in a relationship. We're not blaming, and I talk about the blaming doesn't help anyone.
No,
whether you're
no.
blaming the person or blaming yourself, that's not
no.
empowering. Blaming
no.
doesn't. We want to see we want results. We don't want blame. We want results. So what we want to do is take a look at us and say, what can I do to make a difference in my own life? And then change you're automatically going to change your standards. You're going to have some standards. Maybe you don't have any. And I'm not talking about these ridiculous 100 lists where people
list
say he has
100 things you want to
miss. Right. That's not what we're talking about at all. But setting standards. The reason you're going to set standards is because you're going to be the person who deserves what it is that
exactly.
you're looking for.
Exactly.
And so those are the kinds of standards we're talking about. And it's all about you. We're talking about you because we can't really fix or change another person.
Nope.
The women, you don't realize that you can motivate them enough to want to change if they want to be with you.
If they want to.
Right.
And before I forget, let's talk about how people can reach you. Because you offer a variety of services, and where should they contact you, website, email, or what?
Okay. Website is Linda, L-I-N-D-A, speak, speak.com. Lindaspeak.com is the website. The email is Linda, L-I-N-D-A, speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S, at AOL.com. That's Linda Speaks with an S on the end of speaks at AOL.com.
Okay.
And the book is on my website as well. So
over on your website, www.lindaspeak.com, they can find out about your coaching services, your book, and so forth?
Right. Correct.
Okay. And any organizers who want to book you for speaking, they can do that there as well.
They can do that there as well. There's a form there, how to book Linda.
All right. That's cool.
Definitely. Everything's right there on www.lindaspeak. No S on the end of speak with the website.
Okay.
Lindaspeak.com.
Okay. That's cool. I want you to talk about the romance trap. You mentioned that in your book. Could you explain what that is and how it affects our happiness, please?
Let me tell you, the romance trap affects our happiness a lot because women and men have a different definition of romance. For women, romance usually equates to love, and for men, romance is just that, romance. And so I, in the book, I talk about a young lady who got involved with her boss. She spent the whole weekend with him, and it was so romantic, and by – This was a Friday evening. By Monday, she was in love. Well, he came to work and acted as if it never happened. It was a romantic weekend. For her, it was a love trap. So what women have to understand a lot of times is when men talk about romance, they're only talking about romance. And as women, we need to learn the same language. We need to understand that romance is dazzling. It sweeps us off our feet. Our head is spinning. Our vision is blurred. Our hearing is impaired. We're in love. And romance is not necessarily love. It tricks us into believing that it's love because he's so wonderful. He comes bearing gifts. You know, he's so sweet. We have such a wonderful weekend. We go away to these exotic places. Right, it feels good. And so what we have to understand, though, is that we are making the conscious decision to step into his world of romance, and we should look at it as romance. It's not his fault that we have the Cinderella, I call it the Cinderella complex, because we've been taught, you know, that we're the queen, a man is our prince, and we're the queen, and it's really Cinderella, because it is, he's going to rescue us, and we're going to live happily ever after. It's our fairy tale that we're living out in our heads, and then we're upset with him because he doesn't buy into it. Romance is wonderful as long as we call it what it is. Don't fall into the trap of believing romance is always love. And I'm talking about when you're dating. If you and your husband want to be romantic, or your partner, that's something different. But the challenge is that we call romance love, men call it romance. So we really want to know that when we accept these invitations and when we get involved in these situations, it doesn't necessarily transfer into love, nor does it necessarily transfer into commitment, nor does it necessarily turn into a long-term relationship. And that's what women has to figure out. That's what women have to figure out. That's what they need to know. And it's great if you can accept it. If you accept the weekend with the boss, she's lucky she didn't get fired. You know,
that's
but
true.
If you accept that luxury weekend and you return on Monday and it was just a romantic weekend, when you're sharing with your girlfriends, you have to accept the fact that that's what it was.
That's what it was. I see women as being too big of a hurry to push a relationship into love and into a deep relationship when there hasn't been time to build it up to get to know this person. It's not a hurried kind of thing. And I see so many women that are just, that's why one weekend with the boss or with whomever turns into love for them, because they're pushing and rushing and they're anxious, just so much, it's not even eagerness, it's back to that neediness.
It's neediness.
It is.
And I think when women are really smart, and I think when women get this information and they really begin to understand that there's a different language for men versus women when it comes to romance and when it comes to dating, it empowers us. We're not disempowering you. We want to empower you. You need to know this because I was single for 20 years before I got married the second time. So when I say that I met all kind. But when I stopped and I said, okay, Linda, it's time, you know, something is wrong here, and it can't be all these guys, you know.
Right.
So let's take a look at
you.
When I started to examine, and I didn't condemn, don't condemn yourself. It's not about condemning. It's about exploring. It's about getting to know. It's about empowerment to know and understand that no challenge, no problem is permanent.
No,
this is temporary. No. So, okay, I was off my game a little bit. I was naive. I was whatever. So let's see what we can do to turn this around. So don't condemn. Empower.
That is so true. We are near the end of today's show already, would you believe?
Already.
And I'm going to ask the listeners to be sure to share with their family and colleagues what we have discussed here today. Do you have any closing words for us as we go to the end of the show, Linda?
Well, I would like to say to anyone out there who's listening, and if they want to make that step, I do coaching, one-on-one and group coaching. So, if that's available, you can go on my website. Or may I give my number?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Or you can contact me directly at 323-819-8681, 323-819-8681, and you have to work harder on yourself than you do on anything else in life if you want your life to work.
Those are excellent parting words. I want to thank you so much. Thank all of my listeners for tuning in today. We've had another inspiring and exciting show. If we will put into practice what you've shared with us, wow, what a difference it will make. And starting today on Color Your Life Happy Day, what a great beginning for a new life. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. And I think you probably know what it is if you've been on the show before. Do you know what it is? Here we go.